continue now in our overview of Kodshim, our introduction to Kodshim. And we're going to talk about the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim Kalim in this case. Until now, we spoke about the exclusive Achila of the Kohanim in the case of Kodshi Kodshim. So we're now on page Yudalid, on the right, on the left column. And we have Machlokas Rishonim with regard to Kodshim Kalim. What is this Machlokas Rishonim? In the case of Kohanim in Kodshei Kodshim, we know that they have a mitzvah and it's included in Taryag because Bailim Achaprim, because their Achila clinches the Kapar. But in the case of Kodshim Kalim, where the Bailim eat the Karban, is that a mitzvah? So the Rambam actually uses a very strange, ambiguous term. He says, Nigreres Achar HaMitzvah. Notice he's not willing to subsume it as a mitzvah, but Nigreres Achar HaMitzvah. It's sort of like a subcategory of a mitzvah, an extension of a mitzvah. Now, with regard to Achilas Bailim, in the case of Kodshim Kalim, is there a requirement of Limoshcha? You remember that with regard to the Achila of Kodshei Kodshim, there was a condition of Limoshcha, Ligdula, and it meant that the Kohanim have to eat it in a perfect kind of Achila, upgraded, maybe certain clothing that they wore, and a certain kind of taste that they would add to make sure it was a beautiful Achila. Does that apply in the case of Kodshim Kalim when it's the Bailim who are eating the Karban? And that, again, reflects the question of whether or not the Bailim are fulfilling a mitzvah, or is it just a right and a legal right that they have to the Kodshim, but it's not a mitzvah per se. It's Nigreres Achar HaMitzvah. Now, one could possibly suggest that this depends upon Gavrin Cheftza. You know, this could be a classic Briska Chakira. What is the nature of the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim in the case of Kodshim Kalim? Is it in the Cheftza? It's just that the carbon should be Nechal, otherwise it becomes Nosar. Or is it a Chovas Gavra, like it is in the case of the Kohanim in Kodshim Kodshim? If it's only in the Cheftza, then we call it Nigreres Achar HaMitzvah. It's not really a Chovas Gavra. And if that be the case, Lemoshcha, which is the way that the Gavra should enjoy this Achila and perform this Achila, that doesn't apply. But if we're going to say that it's a mitzvah saseh, no less than in the case of the Kohanim, then we should apply the principle of Lemoshcha. And that would enhance the beauty of the Achila of the Baal. We can add to boot the issue of Alasova. We have Halach and Kodshim, that we eat it alasova. Alasova means that you're not a gluttonous, hungry person and you're starving and you start, you know, just eating the basar, but rather you eat it when you're somewhat full. Again, it shouldn't be an achila gasa, and that enhances your achila. And once again, the question is, in the case of Kodshim Kalim and the Bailam are eating it, is that considered as if the Bailam are performing a mitzvah? So those are some of the issues with regard to Kodshim Kalim. Now, if Korban Pesach would be defined as a paradigmic case of Kodshim Kalim, then we know that there's a halacha, that's a Mishnah later on in Pesachim, of Alasova with regard to the Achila of Korban Pesach. But that's really not a proof, because there are many, many dimensions of the Achila of Korban Pesach that make it into a separate category. It's a separate mitzvah Achila. It's not part of the Achilas Kodshim per se. And even if Achilas Kodshim, in the case of Kodshim Kalim, does not qualify as a mitzvah per se, but Pesach certainly does, there's a special pasuk, a derivation, V'ochlu es habasar b'layla zeh tzli esh, you have to roast the Korban Pesach, it has to be Nechal ala sova, and all those dinim apply. Now, as far as Chagiga is concerned, that's a discussion later on in Pesachim, Mirtzachem will get to it soon, a Machlokas Tanoim, whether or not the principle of Nechal ala sova and other requirements apply to Chagiga as well. Okay, now we're going to speak about other kinds of Karbanos and their status. Okay. Let's talk about what's called Chatos HaPnimios. Now, Chatos HaPnimios, in those cases, there are certain parts of the carbon that actually have to be burnt outside of Shalosh Machnos. That's called Chutzlir and what's called the Beis HaDeshen. So these are Chatos Pnimios that apply in very rare occasions, perhaps Par Helem Dov Shel Tzibur, and there may be certain Karbonis that are brought to Yom Kippur that are classified as Chatos Pnimios. Now the first thing we do after the Avoda is we take the Emurim and we burn the Emurim on the Mizbeach. That's fine. Haktara. Now we have the rest of the animal besides the Emurim, and what happens with that? So one opinion has it that we have to cut up this basar into larger segments, but the various segments are still connected to each other, like, sort of like braided to each other, and now we take them out to the Beis HaDeshen. The Beis HaDeshen is outside of Yerushalayim, that's called Chutz Mishalosh Machnos, because the third Machne, which is called the Harabayis, now we go beyond the Harabayis, and we have the first Machne, the most intense Kedusha, that's called the Machne Shechina, and then we go into the Azara, which is the next level, the second Machne, and then we finally go to the third level, which is called the Machne Levia, and that's the Harabayis. Now, we're out of the Harabayis, we're somewhere in Yerushalayim, that's called Machne Yisrael, and there, he's going to take these limbs of the Chatos, that were larger limbs, he's going to do what's called Nituach, which means he's going to cut them up into smaller parts, and he's going to burn them together with whatever perish that are inside of them, whatever the kishkas that are inside of them, and that's burnt on the Eitzim. And again, these Eitzim are wood that are just used to produce fire. They have no special status in Hegdesh. And you could even use Kash Ugvava. You could take straw and make something flammable out of straw. Not only that, the burning of the remnants of the Chatos Pnimios out in the Beis HaDeshen could be done by a non-Kohen. It could be done at night. It doesn't require day. There is no requirement of Big Day Kahuna. It's just a requirement to make sure that whatever's left of the Chatos HaPnimios should be burnt out in the Beis HaDeshen. Now, Rabosai, we go back to Shlomim. Until now, we've discussed Shlomim from the perspective of what might be a mitzvah to eat the basar of the Shlomim, and that's the rites of the Bailim. But now we want to discuss what's called Tnufa. And there's a mitzvah of Vehenif, which requires that, in the case of Shlomim, both the Bailim and the Kohen participate in the Tnufa. Tnufa literally means waving or lifting. So what happened now? We did all the Avodos. The Kohen takes out the Emurim and he burns them on the Esh of the Maroch, Aktoras Emurim. The Chazav Ishok now has to be designated for the Kohen. What happens? The Chazav Ishok, which are two parts of the animal that have to be given as a gift to the Kohen, are placed into the hands of the Bala Korban. And there are very specific details about what is the order and the sequence, piling one top on the other, of what the Bailim are actually carrying in their hands. This is a sugya in Masechet Menachos. So, for example, there's what's called Chalavim Lemata. On the lowest level, touching the hands of the Bailim are the Chalavim, the fats. On top of that is the Chaz V'Shok, right, different parts of the chest and the leg, the thigh of the animal. And then on top of that, we place Shtei Kloyos V'Yoseres HaKoved. These are different parts of the liver and the kidneys. Now what happens? So we've piled up all these parts of the animal in the hands of the Bailim. And now the Kohen, to participate in this Trufa, will place his hands underneath the hands of the Bailim, and together they do Tnufa. Tnufa means they wave it. In what directions do they wave it? So here we have a machlokes between the Rambam and others. Everybody agrees that the Tnufa is in four directions. That's called north, south, east, and west, in that order. However, at this point, the height from the ground of the hands of the Bailim and the Kohenim, for that matter, has been steady, has been shava b'shava. So we move it this way, move it that way, that way, that way. Is there any requirement in Tnufa to lift it up and bring it down? So according to most Rishonim, Mailim osam lamala umoridim lamata kiderach hananuim sha'osim belulav. Just like in the case of lulav, we do nanuim in six directions. It's not enough to go north, east, south, and west. We also have to go up and down. And that's a requirement in Tnufa as well. And the Rambam holds that Molech Umevi Umalu Morid Li Abba Ruchos B'chol Shlom. Now, what happens, we discussed earlier, if the Kohen himself is bringing a Korban. So we said, for example, Kachi Kachim, if the Kohen brings the Korban, he gets rights to eat the Basar. Now, what about in the mitzvah of Tnufa? Do we need another Kohen besides the Balak Korban? So you have Kohen Aleph and you have Kohen Beis. Do we need Kohen Beis to put his hands underneath Kohen Aleph? So the Minchas Chinuch claims that no. Dai b'tnufas levad. You don't need an extra Kohen to put his hands underneath this Kohen. It means that Tnufa requires the Yad of the Bailim and the Yad of the Kohen. Any Kohen will do. In the case where the Bailim is the Kohen, he serves a double function. His Tnufa is under two different capacities. He's the Bailim of the Korban. At the same time, he's the Kohen who adds and contributes to the Tnufa. There's no separate halacha that the Bala Korban and the Kohen Amenif Ito have to be two different personalities. We don't require trei gavri. One gavra is enough. Now, with regard to a Korban Todah, we have 40 loaves of bread. Do we need all 40 for Tnufa? So the law is that we put on the hands of the Bailim the Emurim and the Chaz V'Shok, and then we take four Chalos from the 40, and that's called Trumas Todah Lekohen. This is going to be the gift of the Baal HaTodah, in this case, to the Kohen. He has to give a gift of 1/10, which means four chalos, each of which represent a group of 10 chalos. And that's where we're going to add to the Tnufa, those four chalos. Now, a Nazir has to bring a very famous Korban called the Ayil Nazir, which has many Dinim of itself. Many of the laws of Ayil Nazir have to do with Yoredeya. In the case of Tnufa of Ayil Nazir, the Ayil of Nazir is a Korban Shlamim, so we need the Chalovim Lamat, the Chazav Shok Aleim. On top of them, we have Shtei Kloyos and Yoseres HaKoveh. And so far, it's identical with Tnufa Sashlamim. Elish Mosif Miala Kol Es Hazroa B'Sheila Shal Ayil. The Zroa that's cooked of the aisle, the arm of the aisle that has to be cooked is placed on top of the Yoseres HaKoveh. And then on top of it all are two loaves of bread that are dedicated to the aisle. Now we get to Kivsei Atzeres. This is a very unique Korban Shlamim because it's a Shalmei Tzibur, and it's brought only on one day of the year, and that is on Chag HaShavuos. Here we're going to require not one Tnufa, but two Tnufos. We're going to use a process of Tnufa on the live sheep. Beod shakvasim chayim konim shchita. Menef hakoin eshnei hakvasim shalitzidam shteil lechem. So we have the shteil lechem, which is the unique carbon of Chag HaShavuos. And then we have the kvasim. And while the kvasim are alive, before the shchita, there's going to be a tnufa on the kvasim. And next to the kvasim are the shteil lechem. Now, I don't know how strong of a person is going to be used for the tnufa, because, you know, to lift up the two kvasim, I mean, that's heavy weight. But wait till we get to Malika, and then we'll see what kind of Kohen can do Malika. Li'achara hefshet. So now we brought these kvasim, and we're up to the point of hefshet. Then meniach es hachozev es hashok below ha'imurim l'tzad shtei halechem u'menifam. Here's the second tnufa, which is again after the shchita and all the avoda. We're up to hefshet. We take off the R. We skin it of its outer hide. And we put the chaz of a shok without the emurim next to the shteil lechem, and we do a tnufa. Okay. Let's talk about Malika in the case of a bird. We'll talk first about Olas Ha'of. Now, Olas Ha'of is something that's Bob and Adava. A person could decide that he wants to bring on his own volition, voluntarily, a Karban Ola, and he could bring it from an Of. So he took it upon himself to bring a Neder or an Adava of an Olas Ha'of. The other case of Olas Ha'of is the case of a Mitzora. Within the context of his Tara process, he has to bring an Ola, and he could bring either a Behema or an Oaf. And here we get to something called Malika. Now, Malika requires that the Kohen pick up the Oaf in his right hand, and if you take a look at your hand, you'll see that there are a number of different places where you could grab onto things. And in the case of the oaf, there are a number of different parts of the oaf that have to be grabbed. So some of them will be grabbed between these two fingers, other between these two fingers, until finally you get to the malika, which is done with the thumbnail. So that's going to be grabbed between the agudal and the pointing finger. So again, there are various nuances of halachas and requirements in malika. First of all, what's the location? Where is the Kohen for the moment of Malika? If all things are equal, he is located on the Sovev. The Sovev, if you remember, was that platform, so to speak, midway up the height of the Mizbeach, and it goes around, and it has an Amma, and that's where the Kohanim used to walk around to do the Avoda of Zrika and so forth. And here's where the Kohen is located for the purpose of Malika Sa'of. He's standing on the Sovev. The Sovev goes in all different directions. He has to be located at a certain corner, and that corner is called Keren Dromis Mizrachis, the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach. Now, we're going to see in a minute why that area is singled out for the purpose of Malika. Ochez es ha'of me'al gav yodo ha'yimonis kishepanel klapimato v'gabo litzad mailo. So first, he places the oaf on the back of his hand, the outside of his hand, and he's got the face of the oaf downwards and its back upwards. And now, he's got to grab on to the following different parts of the oaf before he does the malika. First of all, he has to grab on to the feet of the oaf. And that's called shtei raglayim shel ha'oaf, bein zeres l'kmitza. So that's in his right hand. He's holding on to the raglayim of the oaf in this part. Mahadek shteyetz bos halolu. So he holds down tightly the feet of the oaf. And then tochivet shtey haknafayim shal haof. Now he has to hold on to the two wings of the oaf. And that's going to be between the kmitza and the amma. So that's in this part of the hand. Umahadik, and then he tightens his fingers around the wings of the bird. Then, now, he needs to get ready for the malika itself, so he has to grab on to the neck of the bird, and that he's going to hold between the etzba and the agudal. Okay, so now he has to tighten his fist. This is an amazing kind of achievement. I don't know, you have to be well trained for this. He says, Pnei ha'of ponim el kaf hayad. Now what's happening is, because he grabbed it near his thumb, the head or the face of the bird is facing towards the palm of his hand. The oref ha'of magbil el gav hayat, and the back of the neck of the oaf is sort of parallel to the back of his hand. Beina etzva lagudol. Achikach moshit ziporen agudol shebeoso yad umolikes haof meorfo. Somehow he gets his finger around the bird because the head is very small, and he does the malika from the oref, from the back of the bird, which we said the back of the head is on the outside. He writes that malika ba'ofen zed. Imagine to use one hand to simultaneously to do all these actions, one hand only. He min avodos hakoshos shebemigdash. One of the most difficult, challenging avodos in the migdash itself. Now, there's one opinion. He attributes this to, I think it's the Tiferes Yisrael, that, I don't know where it is, I lost it here. He says it's a Rambam sheet in Pirush HaMishnayos, that he can actually achieve Malika with two hands, use not only his right hand, but also his left hand. He grabs on to the oaf with his left hand, and what he does is, with his right hand, he does the Malika by exposing the two simonim, and toche vesa'or, he somehow presses into the outer skin of the oaf in such a way that he exposes the two simonim in his right hand, which is between the etzba and the agudol, and that's how he does the malika. Now, remember we said that the location of the kohen is on the southeastern side of the Yisod. Why the southeastern side of the Yisod? And for that we have to know something about the Deshen and about what the Kohen is going to do after he achieves Malika. The Keren, that corner of the Mizbeach, in this case of the Yisod HaMizbeach, is the one that's closest to the Deshen. Because what's going to happen is that after the Kohen does whatever he has to do after Malika, then he gets rid of the feathers and some of the outer parts of the, or the inner kishkes of the bird, and he puts it and throws it into the Deshen. And that Deshen is on the eastern side of the ramp of the Kevesh, and the Kevesh is to the south of the Mizbeach. So that the Deshen is on the east of the Kevesh itself is on the south of the Mizbeach, so on that southeastern part, that's where the Yisod is closest to the Deshen. HaKeren HaSmucha B'Yoser, the closest corner to the Deshen is the Keren Dromis Mizrachis. Now what happens if there is a massive amount of volume of olos that have to be brought, and we cannot get enough kohanim up on the sovev at that angle, you know, at that keren, at the same time, is yochla kohen lasosa b'keren dromis ma'arovis. Then he could go to the western side of the Mizbeach on the south side. Okay then.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Were these baby birds? Because to put your hand around the whole bird and do that, I would assume either you have to have very large hands or the animal has to be small, relatively small. Does it say whether they're baby birds?
I'm going to have to assume that, we're talking about Torim and B'nai Yonah. You know, next time you're walking down the street here in Yerushalayim, you'll probably see a couple of pigeons. You know, they're not that large. So those are the...
They're not that small either.
Okay. So you got to get it going with a large hand or someone who's very expert.
Well, also, I thought the Deshin was on the southwest, and the idea was that he had to be able to throw it diagonally across. That was the challenge.
Oh, that's going to be the next stage. So let's go through stage by stage. And Don, you'll see your stage is coming up. We have Malika in Olas Ha'of until now. We're going to speak about Malika in Chatas Ha'of as a separate category. But in the case of Olas Ha'of, there's a halacha called Havdalah. Havdalah means that it's not enough through the Malika to cut through the two simanim, but afterwards, even though the head is still attached to the body of the pigeon, he still necessarily requires what's called Avdala, and he's got to separate or sever the connection between the head and the body. And we're going to soon see, maybe not today but tomorrow, that in the case of Chatas Ha'of, on the contrary, the Torah prohibits Avdala. Okay, what happens after the Malika? Number one, we have something called Mitzui Hadam, which means that the Kohen is now holding on to the bird after Malika in his right hand, and he takes it, especially both the head and the body of the bird, and he pushes it against the wall of the Mizbeach at that corner. That's called Dochako al Zovis Kira Mizbeach Shemichetzi HaMizbeach Ulamala, on the top half of the Mizbeach. And now the blood, as a result of this pushing the bird, is going to flow down from the top half of the Mizbeach downwards. Then he grabs onto the head of the bird, and only the head of the bird. And again, he goes through another action of Dochko Shuv El Kir Mizbeach. And now, all the blood of the bird is now on the Kir HaMizbeach. Now, if some of the dam spills out before he's able to get out all the dam, Eino Nifsal. He did the best he could. And there is even an opinion that he should leave some of the dam inside the oaf so that he can do what's called Shvicha Shirayim on an oaf. We only know of Shvicha Shirayim on a behema, but there is one opinion apparently that there's Shvicha Shirayim on an oaf, so therefore the Kohen is well recommended to leave some of the dam inside. Then we get to Haktorah. The Kohen takes the head of the bird, he salts it. Again, the melach, the salt which is on the Rosh HaMizbeach, has to be melach of the tzibur. It's purchased from the Trumas HaDeshen, the communal funds. And he takes the head of the bird and he burns it on the Mizbeach. However, the achakach, then he takes the rest of the oaf, the guf, the body of the oaf, and he severs it. These are the innards, the kishkas of the oaf, and those are called either a zefek or a mora'ah. And those are also the kurkavan, which we call the pupik. The gam, and he grabs also the feathers of the bird and the skin of the bird. Mashlicham el beis hadeshen. And he throws it into the beis hadeshen, which is next door to the kevesh. Gadol kocham shel kohanim. Now, what's going on over here? The heavier a substance is, the easier it is to throw it at a distance. But when something is very light, it's very hard to throw it at a distance. Gadol kocham shel kohanim, I don't know if this is supernatural or natural, but the greatness of their ability is, ein l'chakal sheba ofos, yosem imo roa v'notza. What he's left with is some of the innards of the bird and the feathers. These are very lightweight. Upa'amim, and nevertheless, depending upon the distance between where he's standing on the yisod, at the southeastern corner, and the deshen, kohen zarko yosem ishloshim ama. The distance is as much as 30 amah and more. And yet he's able to throw it. And this halacha of hashlacha with regard to the notza and the morah is not an avodas hakohen in the pure sense. Because yechol le'yoseis al yidei kohen she'eno lovish bebigdei kuna v'af bizar. Even a non-kohen is allowed to do this. And again, this is going to take place in the Azara. And a non-kohen who's coming in for the sake of a mitzvah is no different than the Levim who came into the Azorah. So they're allowed entrance into the Azorah, and they can do the hashlacha of the morah and the notzah. Okay, that's what we wanted to cover here in this part, and that's what we have as an introduction to Kodshim. So let's just make a note of where we got up to. We're up to Chatos Ha'of on page Tes Zayin. So then in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow. Rabbosai, we're on Daf Nun Tes Omid Aleph, and we're going to now compare Ravina in the name of Rav Chisda with Rav Papa. Both are attempting to interpret Rabbi Shmuel, who says in the Braisa that for the sake of a mechusa kapara who needs to bring his karban to purify himself and eat kodshim, we will bring his karban even after the tamid shel shachar. And the Gemara objects to this and says, impossible. High essay v'high essay. You have the essay of Hashlama, which prohibits you from bringing any karban on the Mizbeach after the Tomet Shel Shachar. You have a mitzvah saseh incumbent upon the mitzora, let's say, the mechusa kapara, to eat kodshim. Why should his mitzvah of achilas kodshim trump the mitzvah of hashlama, such that b'kum v'aseh, we're going to bring his karma? So first we start with Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda's solution is that we're talking about what's called a mitzora ani. And if he doesn't have the financial whereabouts to bring his chatos from a behema, then the Torah allows him to bring the chatos from an oaf. And this is the chatos ha'oaf that Amir Tzashem will talk about in great detail tomorrow in terms of the Malika of chatos ha'oaf and the Isra Avdola in our introduction to Kodshim. But be that as it may, in the case of chatos ha'oaf, what happens is that there's no haktorah al gabi mizbeach. Nothing is actually burnt on the mizbeach. The chatas itself, in the case of a mitzora, will allow the mitzora to eat kodshim once he's brought his chatas. And the source for this, Rashi says, is Yoledes. In the case of Yoledes, she doesn't bring a carbon asham. And what's going to complete her tara on, let's say, if she had a nekeva the 80th day after her birth, she will bring a chatos and an ola, but she will not bring an osham. And then she's completed her tara and she's allowed to eat from kodshim. Now, with regard to the chatos karbon, it says in Vayikra Yudbeis, v'krivo lifnei Hashem, v'kiper olav, v'tahara. So that after the chatos is brought, it's v'tara. The power of the chatos is to engender tara. And therefore, if the mitzora is an ani, he will bring, instead of a behema, he will bring a chatos ha'of, And that chatos will generate tara, vitara, such that now he can eat from kodesh. But in this case, Rabbi Yishmael is saying that there's no violation of hashlama. In other words, the prohibition that enjoins us from bringing karbanos after the Tomei Shel Barabayim does not apply in the case of a chatas ofer. The Gemara explains why. She'ein la mizbeach el adama. All that goes on the mizbeach in the case of a chatas ofer is the dam, as we described it before in the case of olas ha'ov, and we're talking about the dochak where he pushes the bird against the kir hamizbeach, and that's only as far as dam is concerned. And we had a discussion, if you recall, whether he's got to get rid of all the dam or he should leave over some dam. But the basar of the oaf is not burnt on the mizbeach. When the Torah says that the carbon tomet has to be the last carbon of the day, it wasn't referring to the shechita or to the Kabbalah Saddam, or even to the Zrika Saddam. It was referring to the Akhtaras Ha'emurim. In the case of Chatas Ha'ov, so says Rav Chisda, there's no Akhtaras Ha'emurim, and that's where you completely circumvent the violation of the Isra Shlomo, because again, the Isra Shlomo means you cannot bring on the Mizbeach any carbon with a haktara on the Eish of the Mizbeach after the Karban Tomet Shel Bein Arbayim. But here, he's not being maktir anything on the Mizbeach, because that's the nature of the Avodah of Chatas Ha'ov. No part of the Ov is burnt on the Mizbeach.
Rabbi?
Yes?
I thought you said he puts the head, he burns the head on the Mizbeach. That's not considered Emurim. Maybe that's the reason?
I don't know. You're asking an excellent question. I'm not sure, because we were talking about Olas Ha'ov, and I'm not sure if Chatas Ha'ov has the same dinim. I can take a quick look. This is really for tomorrow, but since you mentioned it today, is Chatas Ha'ov Koed Omid Al Mitzvah Zora? Fine. Here he's going to stand on the Keren Dromis Maravis, not on the eastern side, but on the western side. Ochez Es Ha'ov. And Molek eschat eschachatos mina oref below avdola v'eino mavdil sarosh mina guf ocheis esarosh vaguf u'mina nea sa'of l'mal l'mato. Oh, he seems to assume that it's just a matter of mitzi adam in the case of chatos ha'of. Oh, here it is. How do you like that? So if you happen to have the Masifta, it's on page Tez Zayin in Masechta Zvachim, and he says, Chatas Ha'of Ein LaMizbeach El Adama. All you give to the Mizbeach is the Dam. She'ein Karev LaMizbeach MiBesara Klum. Okay then, so this is going to be the difference between Olas Ha'of and Chatas Ha'of. So Olas Ha'of is Kulei Kolil, and with the exception of the Morah and the Notza. But the balance is going to be burnt like any other Karban Ola. But not in the case of a Chatas Ha'of. The Chatas Ha'of, we give it to the Kohen, they will eat the Basar. I don't know how much Basar is left after all this, I don't know. But Ein LaMizbeach MiBesara Klum. If you can remember those four words, Ein LaMizbeach MiBesara Klum. That's all we have to know for our sugya here, as far as Hashlam is concerned. So since in the case of a Chatas Ha'of, there is nothing that is burnt on the Mizbeach at all, period. Therefore, we are not violating the Yisra Hashlam, because Yisra Hashlam says, don't burn on the Mizbeach anything post the Tom and Shalbein Arbain.
Okay, thanks.
Okay then, so that's what we have. Now, what about Shechita and Zrika? Obviously, we're talking about a situation in which the Mitzora needs this Karban Chatos, so where the first two stages are Shechita and Zrika, and there's no Iser of Shechita and Zrika after the Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim, which is really fascinating. You could do the Shechita and the Zrika, but you can't do the Aktara. Only the Aktara is prohibited under the law of Hashlama. Here, in the case of Chatas Ha'of, after they brought the Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim, the Metzora brings his Chatas Ha'of, and we're allowed to do both the Shechita and the Zrikas Hadam, which we said was the Mitzvah Damim, and all that is permitted, even though they've already brought the Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim. Now, in the note here, he adds something which is critical for us. We can't figure out Pshat without this. He says, Avol Midivrei Chachamim, on a drabbanan level, gam shchita uzrika levadom asurim gzera shemiyovo af lahaktir. We're not going to allow you to shecht any karbonos or sprinkle the dam after the karbon tamid, because once we allow you to do that, you might go one step further and you might be maktir the emurim on the mizbeach, which you're not allowed to do. It's after the Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim. So if that be the case, what Rabbi Shmuel is advocating here is a violation of an isur derabbanan, all for the sake of the mitzvah of achilas kodshim. V'lo hiter Rabbi Shmuel el lemechusar kippurim. Right, so the only time Rabbi Yishmael is going to override the Isurim of Shechita and Zrika post Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim, which are Isurim Derabbanan, is only in the case of Mechusar Kapara. So if I'm not a Mechusar Kapara, and I come in running into the Beis HaMikdash, I realize it's getting late in the afternoon, and I find out, to my dismay, that they've already brought the Karban Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim. And now I'm begging the Kohanim to bring my karban, because tomorrow I have a very busy day at work. They're going to laugh me out of this. And even in a case where you only need shechita and zrika at this part, even so, that would be a violation of an issur derabbanan. We're not going to allow that after the Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim. Only in the case of mechusar kapara, Rabbi Shmuel is going to allow this for the sake of eating the kodesh, because they are in a state of tumah and they need this karbon, in this case, this chatas of, to generate tara. Now, what about the Tanakama? The Tanakama only allowed this on Erev Pesach for the sake of karbon Pesach, which is the mitzvah sheish bo kares. Lo hiter lahakriv achar atomid b'shayim os hashana el rak be'erev Pesach. Who sover, the Tanakhama is of the opinion, she'af ha-shchita v'azrika b'fnei atzmam, asurim in ha-Torah li'achar ha-tamid. Once they've started the tamid, the Beis HaMikdash is closed for business, and the Torah prohibits even shchita and zrika, both of which are going to be necessary in the case of chatos ha'of. And that's where the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yishmael. So again, just to summarize, Rabbi Yishmael holds that Shechita and Zrika after the Tamid is only an Issur Derabbanan, because we're afraid he might come to do the Aktara after he finishes with the Zrika. But according to the Tanakhama, the Issur of Shechita and Zrika after the Tamid is an Issur De'oraisa. Now, he offers another alternative approach to the Tanakhama in the name of the Mishmeres Kohuna. He says that Taima Shel Tanakhama Hu Machmas HaOla. Okay, so for this, we're going to have to learn the next piece of Gemara. So Bli Neder will come back to this point. Okay. Now we get to Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, I don't need that ukimta of Rav Chizda, that we're talking dafka about a chatas ha'of, afilu tema b'chatas behema. Even if the mitzora is well-to-do, and he can afford a chatas behema. Now, in the case of chatas behema, there are parts that have to be niktar al gabi mizbeach, like chalovim. And once again, the question comes back to square one: how can we allow violating the Isra Ashlama for the sake of the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim in the case of Mitzorah? He's bringing a chatas behema. He says that he's not going to be maktir the chalovim immediately. He'll only do shchita and zrika. Now again, we're not talking about a chatas ha'ov, which doesn't require any haktar al gabi mizbeach. We're talking about a chatas behema that requires haktar al gabi mizbeach. But you know what? He's going to do the shchita and the zrika, according to Rabbi Shmuel, after the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. But what's going to be with the haktara? He's going to postpone the haktara. Now, if he's going to postpone the haktara, then we're in trouble, because the emurim are going to become posel with nightfall. And that's called lina. On the very day of the akrava, the emurim have to be brought. And if you leave them over the entire night, then with daybreak, those emurim can no longer be brought on the Eish of the Mizbeach. They now have the status of psul lina. Lina means overnight. So the first question that Rav Pop has to address is, in the case of Chatas Behema, you're leaving the emurim until tomorrow, which means that you bring it after the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar, but before the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim tomorrow. What about the psulina? You're leaving the emurim overnight. That's where the Gemara comes now with the whole sugya of lina al rosh hamizbeach. So before we get into that, let's just mention the following. The Torah says in Parshas Vayikra, it says, "Veskol chelbo yasir kasher husar chelev mi'al mizbach." Me'al zevach hashlamim, v'ktira kohena mizbecha. And in Shlomim it says v'hikriv mizevach hashlamash ishe l'Hashem es hachilav hamachas es hakerev es kol hachilav asher al hakerev v'shtei hakloyos v'es hachilav asher aleihem asher al ksolim v'es hayoseres al hakoved al hakloyos yasirenu v'ktiru oso b'nei Aaron hamizbecha al ha'ola asher al ha'etzim asher ha'esh ishe reach nichoach l'ashem. So we have now a parsha in the Torah of chatos that requires haktorah, and the question is how he's going to override the iser of hashlama and be maktir the chelev, the emurim of the chatos habeim. So the Gemara answers that he's not going to be maktir the emurim. He's only going to do Zrika and Shchita and Zrika. And the Gemara is assuming that now the Mitzora with the Shchita and the Zrika Saddam is allowed to eat Kodshim, meaning his Tara is complete. They haven't been Makta the Emurim yet. So the Akhtaras Emurim does not hold up the process of Tara, the completion of Tara, and therefore the Mitzora is going to be allowed to eat Kodshim even after the Shchita and Zrika of the Dam before the Haktaras Emurim. Okay, fine. But what about the Haktaras Emurim? You're postponing it until tomorrow? we have a psul of lina. And the Gemara answers that a malina berosho shel mizbeach, that Rav Papa is of the opinion that lina moeles berosh hamizbeach. Just one sec. One second. Is it ein? I always get confused with the negative and the positive. Is ein lina? Oh, ein. I'm sorry. Ein lina moeles berosh hamizbeach. Meaning that lina, when you leave over the parts of the carbon overnight, that does not have any impact to generate a psul lina in the case of rosh hamizbeach. So what do? There's the top of the mizbeach has a marach of esh. We're going to take the emurim of the chatas ha'of. I'm sorry, the chatas ha'behema. My mistake. That's a bad mistake. Chatas ha'of. Chatas ha'behema. And I'm going to just dramatize it. We're going to tie it up in a bag. Tie them up in a big sack. And place it on Rosh HaMizbeach, but next to, but not on the Esh HaMizbeach. Because if you put it on the Esh HaMizbeach, you are violating the Isur Vashlama. And once you've taken the Emurim up to the Rosh HaMizbeach, there's no psul of lina. Anything in the on the Rosh HaMizbeach is protected from lina. If I can give a mashal, it's like, you know, again, the different laws, different countries, but if you go into the embassy, then you get protection. Or in halachic terms, if you go to an ir miklat, then you are protected. Here too, the mizbeach, meaning the rosh hamizbeach, affords a protection to leave out the forces of lina that try to penetrate into this basar and passel and invalidate the basar for haktara. So again, the actual haktara of the emurim of this chatas behema is going to take place tomorrow. But the mitzora already today will be allowed to eat kachiv after the chatas habehema was shechted and there was zrika sadam. And all that, meaning the Shechita and the Zrika, took place after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, because on a Doraisa level, as we said before, there's no problem with Shechita and Zrika after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. And L'machar Yaktiris HaChalovim Li'achar HaTamid Shel Shachar. So tomorrow they'll be Machtir it. And the Gemara is assuming two things. Number one, Ein Lina Moeles Berosh HaMizbeach. And number two, the Gemara is assuming that the Mechusar Kapara becomes Tahar immediately after the Zrikas Hadam, even before Laktaras Emur. So since, again, on a biblical level, there's no violation of Hashlama through Shechita and Zrika, on the other hand, we gain without losing. It's win-win, because now, after the Shechita and the Zrika, the Mitzora is no longer a Mitzora. He's achieved Tara and he can eat his Kachim without having violated the Isur Vashlam. So says Rav Papa, we can work this out, Rabbi Shmuel could be made sense of, even in a Chatas Behema. But the only problem is that the premise, okay, so the premise that Ein Lina Moel Spirosh HaMizbeach, okay, that's a Mandiomer, one of the Tanoim holds that way in Zvochen. So it's not terrible if we identify Rabbi Shmuel here as maintaining Ein Lina Moel Spirosh HaMizbeach. But the other premise that Rav Pop is working with, that once the Chatos was brought, even again without the Akhtar Simurim, the Mitzora is allowed to eat Kodshim, and his Tara process is clinched, that is going to be very, very questionable. Now, in the notes here, he quotes the Brisker Rav, who quotes his father, Reb Chaim, and then he disagrees with his father, about why Ein Lina Moeles Berosh HaMizbeach. According to Reb Chaim, the reason for this is because once it's Olal Rosh HaMizbeach, chashiv ki'ilu hischil haktaroso. Lina only applies if you haven't begun the process of haktara. Once the basar is brought on top of the mizbeach, you've already begun to burn the karbanos. Again, technically, it's not called a haktara, otherwise our whole sugya would make no sense. Because we're telling him after the Tavit Shalbein Arbayim, he's taking up the emurim on top of the mizbeach. But no, that's not a haktara. He didn't put it in the fire. But it's tchilas haktara in order to avoid lina. Lina only applies when you postpone overnight the haktara. But here you didn't postpone overnight the haktara because you've already, so to speak, embarked and started the process of haktara. That's Rav Chaim. Chashiv kiilu hiskil baktarosam v'memelu lo shech behen shuv psul lina. Ach, das ha-griz, griz is the son of Rav Chaim, meaning the brisker rov, shatamu, the reason why ein lina mo'elis b'rosh ha-mizbeach, whom he didn't kiddush. What does that mean? Shamizbeach mekadesh ha'ivarim. Now, what this means is that once there's a upgraded status or process of kiddush, now it is completely impervious. No, that's not the word I'm going to. It's completely protected from psulim. You know, you can't passel something that already has a status of kiddush. So the Brisker Rav wants to say that taking the emurim on top of the mizbeach is an act of kiddush. U'mekadesh es ha'ivarim le'inyan zeh shelo yochel aleihem psulina. The kiddush process of taking this basar emurim up to the mizbeach, to the Rosh HaMizbeach, that kiddush is powerful enough to completely offset or neutralize the psul of lina. Now, the Rosh Yeshiva Panovich, his name was Rav Shmuel Grozovsky. He claims that there's an afkamina between the grach and the grids. According to the grach, that putting the emurim on top of the mizbeach is considered hascholas haktara, that only applies on the Rosh HaMizbeach. The Rosh HaMizbeach is the place where the Maracha, where the fire was, and there you can consider anywhere on the Rosh HaMizbeach as the beginning of Haktara. But other places on the Mizbeach would not be sufficient. But according to the Brisker Rav, that it's a din of Kiddush HaMizbeach, then when we say Mala, then Olu Lo Yardu, and there's a din of Kiddush HaMizbeach, and there's no difference between the Rosh HaMizbeach to other parts of the Mizbeach. For example, the Gemara says in Tzvachim that you can have Kiddush HaMizbeach even on the Kevesh of the Mizbeach. So you don't need Rosh HaMizbeach. If the halacha of Ein Lina Mo'elis B'Rosh HaMizbeach is halacha in Hascholas HaKtara, as Reb Chaim understood it, then we can justify why the avoidance, you know, circumventing Lina has to be Dafka on the Rosh HaMizbeach. That's where we can consider it Hascholas HaKtara. But if it's halacha of kiddush to protect it from the psul of lina, then that kiddush process applies even in other parts of the mizbeach, lav dafka on the Rosh HaMizbeach. Mishum she'ein chiluk ben Rosh HaMizbeach l'shara makomos. As far as the power of the mizbeach as an entity to generate kiddusha, there's no difference, there's no special status to the Rosh HaMizbeach. And as a proof, Rav Shmuel quotes this halacha that even the kevesh of the mizbeach could generate kedusha. That's a sugya in Zvachim Daf Pei Vav. as far as the Chacham and the Tanakam is concerned, why he rejected Rabbi Shmuel and he doesn't allow bringing this Chatos HaBehema, we could say that Tanakama holds that the Isser is even on Shechita, and that's why he rejected the first two Kimta of Rav Chizda of Chatos HaOf, and the same thing will apply in Chatos Behema and Rav Papa. But the other way of going it is, possibly we could say that the Tanakama holds that Lina Mo Elis Bar Rosh HaMizbeach. And therefore, what are you going to do? You're going to be Mala the Avarim to Rosh HaMizbeach? That's not going to help you at all. It's only according to Rabbi Shmuel that this is a possibility, because he maintains that Ein Lina Mo Elis Bar Rosh HaMizbeach. And this issue about whether Lina is Moel Bar Rosh HaMizbeach is actually Machlokes Amoroyim in Zvachim Daf Pei Zayin. So if you hold Ein Lina Mo'eles B'Rosh HaMizbeach, that reflects itself here in Rabbi Shmuel, but the Tanakhama might hold that Lina Mo'eles B'Rosh HaMizbeach, which as we said is in fact the Machlokes Amoraim. Okay, then we'll stop here, and tomorrow we'll talk about Korban Oshem of a Mitzorah.